This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
There's been an angry response this week after the release of the name of the man who killed Cecil, a well-known lion from Zimbabwe. The man, Walter Palmer, is a dentist from Minnesota. The uproar this week has led to protests at his dental practice.
In a Wisconsin connection, court documents have shown that Palmer pleaded guilty to illegally killing a black bear in Wisconsin in 2006, for which he paid a fine and was put on probation. In this case, Cecil the lion was reportedly lured off of a wildlife reserve by professional Zimbabwe hunters and shot by Palmer on private land. Palmer said he didn't know that the lion was lured off of a reserve. He reportedly paid the hunters $50,000 to lead him on that hunt.
In addition to protesting this particular incident, many people have called for an end to trophy hunting in general. While this killing appears to have been illegal, some conservationists argue the outrage shouldn't lead to broader restrictions on trophy hunting because it could actually be beneficial to conservation overall. Nikki Rust joins us now. She's a PhD candidate in biodiversity management at the University of Kent. She co-wrote a piece for The Conversation called Why Killing Lions Like Cecil May Actually Be Good for Conservation. She joins us now. Nikki, welcome to Central Time.
Hi.
Now, before we get to legal trophy hunting in general, you do point out in your piece that illegal trophy hunting, as in this particular case, is not good for conservation. What kind of damage can be done by things like poaching and unregulated hunting?
Well, poaching is a very different matter to trophy hunting, and the main problem with poaching is that because it's illegal, we're not exactly sure the amount of lions that are being killed. People obviously try to be very, very secretive about these kinds of things, and so you can't really monitor it, which means you can't really control it. So we need to be very clear about how we're talking about hunting. There's the legal killing and the illegal killing. Obviously, illegal killing is extremely bad, so don't condone that absolutely at all.
Now, let's turn to legal trophy hunting. There's been, as we mentioned, there have been calls for bans on trophy hunting of lions and other species over this last week as people are protesting. What is your response to that? What do you see? What would we lose if we didn't have legal trophy hunting?
A very good question. Well, actually, there's a big consensus among big cat conservationists in the world who almost all believe that trophy hunting, if it's done successfully, can benefit big cats. It sounds counterintuitive, I know, but hear me out on this. So if we banned trophy hunting, then we would probably lose about 60,000 square kilometers, I'm not quite sure what that is in miles, I'm sorry, of habitat. And this is probably going to go to mining and agriculture. Trophy hunting brings in a lot of revenue. Obviously, a lot of this argument about trophy hunting has been about money. So if you put value on a lion, people are going to want to protect it. In Namibia, where I did most of my research, which is in southern Africa, it's now illegal to import trophies of cheetahs into the U.S. And from doing my research in Namibia, I found from the farmers who live with cheetahs, they see them as vermin now. They see them that they have absolute no value, and so they're just killing all of them. So this has been shown in many different situations where there's been temporary bans on trophy hunting, like in Zambia between 2000 and 2003, the wildlife declined. When trophy hunting was banned in Kenya in the 1970s, wildlife declined. So I know it sounds very strange that if we have this sort of situation where we're killing animals, how can it be good for conservation? But if you're putting value on these things, people feel that they need to protect them more than if you just say, no, we can't kill anything at all.
So this is an economic incentive for the local people, or at least some segment of a local population, to say, hey, it's worthwhile to keep land as habitat instead of, as you say, a farm or a mine. It's worth making sure these animals survive instead of killing them to protect a farm. So because it has this economic value, the locals are on board with conservation.
Definitely. And it depends on which country we're talking about trophy hunting. Each different country has different regulations as to how the money gets transferred. Again, I talk about Namibia because that's what I know best. There, they have a situation where local communities are able to collectively manage their land in what's called a conservancy. And this tends to be on communal land, land which is owned by black Namibians, very, very poor people who have been previously disadvantaged. When they are allowed to create a conservancy, it basically becomes a protected area. But they're not only doing sort of photographic tourism, they're allowed to do trophy hunting. And in 2013, $5 million was created out of these conservancies. Of that, $1.5 million was from trophy hunting. And not only that, not only the money, they also benefited from 500,000 kilograms of meat that year as well. So they're getting a lot of benefits from trophy hunting. And about a third of these conservancies, their main income is trophy hunting. So if we banned trophy hunting, there's about 175,000 people that are in these conservancies in Namibia. We would basically be making these poor people much, much poorer.
Talking to biodiversity researcher Nikki Rust from the University of Kent about the shooting of Cecil the Lion and the debate over trophy hunting that's been breaking out with protests over this last week. Now, I've seen an argument, Nikki, that says, hey, let's make this a tourist thing. People can come see the lions or whatever animal in question, take pictures, spend their money, pay to do that. That'll bring in the revenue. They don't actually need to shoot them. Does it add up, do you think?
In certain situations, it does. So it seems that in India, for example, where they don't have trophy hunting, it's working very well, this photographic tourism. And the recent census of tigers showed that, surprisingly, tigers are increasing, which is wonderful. So it's working well there. We don't need to have trophy hunting there. Great. I don't really like trophy hunting. I think it's not nice to kill animals in any circumstance. So I'm not really for it, but I see that the statistics show me that, you know, in certain situations, if it's done well, then it increases the population. So I think it's very easy to judge this industry and to see these horrific pictures of people posing with these dead animals and to make sort of assumptions about these people. But, I mean, I'm a vegan. I don't like anyone killing any animals at all. I'm a big cat lover. I think I'm probably one of the biggest animal geeks that I know. I love nature. So coming from me, someone who loves big cats, to actually say, hang on a minute, I've been studying this topic for 5 years now, and I can see that this really does have a benefit if it's done well in some of these countries. Tourism, photographic tourism, does have problems. It's only suitable in certain areas because people who go on these photographic safaris, they want beautiful scenery. They don't really want to have sort of people in the way. They don't want livestock getting in their pictures, whereas hunters don't really mind that. So this opens up lots more areas for conservation. Also, tourists, photographic tourists, don't really like going to unsafe areas or sort of politically unstable areas, where it's been shown that hunters don't mind. And also we've got to think about the ecological impact of photographic tourism. It's a mass industry. We're getting millions of people coming to Africa each year. Now, if you just think about the carbon footprint of all of these tourists traveling internationally, yes, they're not killing any animals, but let's just think about this holistically. How much damage are they doing to the world with all of this international airfare when we have trophy hunting, which if you compare one trophy hunter to one photographic tourist, trophy hunters bring in much more money per person, and the ecological footprint, particularly in terms of the carbon miles, is much less.
Nikki, you use the phrase trophy hunting when done well. What kind of rules in places like Zimbabwe or Namibia, what kind of rules need to be in place to make sure this has the best impact on conservation, the least negative impact on the area?
There are many different things that we can improve, particularly in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe, of course, everyone knows, has been quite politically unstable and it suffers from corruption. It's very difficult to sort out corruption, but we can try to improve the regulations. So currently, when it comes to lion trophy hunting, there are age limits. You can only shoot a male lion. You're not allowed to shoot female lions. You can only shoot a male lion that's over 6 years old. But we need to make sure that this is definitely happening because it seems from the research that sometimes people take younger males, and that can really affect the population. So we must make sure that it's the old males who have already contributed to the gene pool. Now, because lions are social creatures, another argument against trophy hunting of lions is that if you take out the male, then a new male will come into the pride and will kill all the cubs. And this, of course, happens. So we also need to make sure that the quotas for lion trophy hunting take this into consideration, and they have to be very, very low. We need to make sure that if this happens and if cubs are killed, then it's not going to negatively affect the population. So maybe something that we can do is increase the price of trophy hunting and dramatically reduce the quotas. And then one other thing that I think is a potential solution, something that's happened in forestry and in food, is certification. So maybe having some kind of labelling or certification that we can prove that this is sort of ethical, if you would like to call it that, trophy hunting, or something that has been rated by an external body, audited, to make sure that they are doing what they're saying that they're doing.
We're talking to Nikki Rust. She's with the University of Kent, talking about the debate over trophy hunting after a week of outrage over the killing of Cecil the lion.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you think trophy hunting should be illegal? Do you think it's justified by economic benefits like revenue for poor countries that could be spent on other kinds of conservation? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation about trophy hunting in light of the killing of Cecil the lion. The name of the Minnesota dentist who killed the lion was released this week, and there's been a global outcry. We're talking to Nikki Rust, PhD candidate in biodiversity management at the University of Kent.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your response to this particular incident, the killing of Cecil the lion in Zimbabwe? Do you think, is this an isolated case? Is it more representative of trophy hunting as a whole? And should trophy hunting be illegal, as some protesters are saying, or do you see value for conservation, as our guest says? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Jeremiah starts us off in La Crosse. Jeremiah, hi.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. What do you think?
Well, I'm a hunter myself. I'm not necessarily an African trophy game hunter, but I follow hunting pretty religiously, so to speak, and I think what we're dealing with here is kind of an isolated incident. I don't know how much blame can be put on the Minnesota dentist as far as to what he knew as to the reason he was hunting, you know, if he knew that they were drawing this lion out of this reserve. But if you look at the facts of trophy hunting, especially in the African area like that, the money that gets brought in for this, most of it, if not all of it, if I'm not mistaken, and from the studies and the people that I've talked to in the industry, you know, that money goes directly towards the conservation efforts for a lot of those animals to help prevent illegal poaching and to help with other aspects for those reserves. And, you know, the meat and the carcass for a lot of animals taken, whether it be lions or elephants or, you know, what other animals are out there, typically all go back to the local tribes.
Jeremiah, thanks a lot for the call. I want to bring Nikki in on this. He was backing up some of what you said, Nikki. There have been accusations that, hey, not as much of the money as they claim goes directly into conservation. What can be done, Nikki, to make sure that the money going into these trophy hunts is a lot of it being used for conservation?
Yeah, I mean, that is true. In Zimbabwe, not very much goes towards the local communities, and that is a real, real shame, particularly as in the past they used to have a community-based conservation scheme called Campfire, which was much more equitable, where they did provide much more of the income towards the communities. I think this is a political issue. It would be great if they could change the laws so that more could be given to the local communities. However, I will state that 25% of the income from trophy hunting in Zimbabwe does go to the government, and obviously that is going to go back into building schools and hospitals and roads and things, and so it does still benefit the community. However, they're not seeing direct benefits. So it would be wonderful if they could get some better benefits from that, and I think we can all learn a lot from, sorry to keep banging on about this, but Namibia is a perfect example as how you can do trophy hunting well and it's going to be beneficial for people and wildlife. Since it was implemented in 1996, there has been exponential growth in trophy-hunted species. So, for example, in 1995, elephants in Namibia, there was only 2,500, whereas in 2013, there was 20,000 of them. And these are species that are actually trophy-hunted in Namibia.
Nikki, so, I want to bring in another caller. We go next to PJ in Milwaukee. PJ, hi.
Hello.
What do you think, PJ?
I just think it should be illegal.
Now, why is that?
Because no one should have the right to take the life of another powerful being just because you have a powerful weapon.
PJ, thanks for the call. And that's, you said, Nikki, you're a vegan, you don't like the killing of animals. That's also an argument that I imagine resonates with you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like it. I would never go trophy hunting myself. What I do find fascinating is that this is an argument that I've heard a lot, and yet many of these people don't seem to mind killing animals to eat. You know, we don't need to eat meat to survive, so we're actually only doing it for pleasure. So I don't quite see the difference in killing an animal for sport and then to put on your above your fireplace to killing an animal to then eat it, just having a few moments on your tongue. So, yeah, an interesting argument.
PJ, thanks a lot for the call. So as we look ahead, I mean, this thing about Cess the Lion probably isn't going to die down anytime soon. Do you think that we're going to see changes in legal trophy hunting as a result of this outcry?
I think that hopefully the best case scenario for me would be, and I think for Africa as a whole, its people and its wildlife, would be to ensure the regulations are made much more strict. I don't think that it's going to be banned. I think that maybe some countries that are seeing population declines are maybe going to have a look at their quotas and reduce them, or maybe put temporary bans on them. But I think the history has told us that trophy hunting is just so beneficial for wildlife that we really can't afford to ban it.
And are you worried that this whole argument over trophy hunting might distract from other important issues of conservation totally unrelated to hunting?
Potentially, yes. But I think that the money that has been coming in just related to this whole Cecil incident, I know that Oxford University, who were the people who were monitoring Cecil, just in the last week, because of this whole issue, they have received donations equivalent to, I think, $500,000. So this money that has been raised from this incident is going to go for many different types of programs involved in big cat conservation. So, yes, the media have just been focusing on this, but the people who are actually working on the ground, who are being able to get money from conservation and from trophy hunting, we're still working out how we can try and reduce this biodiversity loss.
Nikki, thanks a lot for joining us today.
No problem.
That was Nikki Rust with the University of Kent talking about trophy hunting as protests continue over the shooting of Cecil the Lion in Zimbabwe. You can continue the conversation, share your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page.